great pleasure of welcoming on the French language program, Edward Dyker. Welcome again.
Jean-Noël, it's always a pleasure to speak.
And let me remind the listeners, you're a historian who was born of a Mauritian mother and a Dutch father, and a specialist in Mauritian history. And we're talking on this special day today, the 12th of March, which is the 50th anniversary of independence. And Edward, what are some of your impressions of today?
It is a day that I've been very mindful of, and I've put up the Mauritian flag on our flagpole. I can remember, of course, when Mauritius became independent, because I'm 63 this month, and even though, you know, my mother came in 1950 and some of her brothers in 1946, so they weren't part of that wave of panic prior to independence and immediately after. Nevertheless, the event was something that was part of my childhood. I can remember one of my uncles being concerned at seeing a stamp bearing the image of Mahatma Gandhi. To him, it was some sort of indication of Hindu hegemony, but in my case, it simply piqued my curiosity that this remarkable man had visited my mother's native island. And Gandhi's works are still part of my library. So, I also did my doctorate in Indian studies. So I didn't share that anxiety. But of course, look, I look at Mauritius's achievements since independence. And it's not just GDP of about $22 billion a year and very real improvement in people's lives, despite some flaws. And any democracy has flaws. The rule of law, transparency, are important achievements in a part of the world that hasn't always had those achievements. And I just think Mauritius has a lot to be proud of. And I feel proud to be of Mauritian descent. Of course, I've also represented Mauritius as honorary consul between 1996 and 2002. And as you mentioned, I've written about those historical links between Australia and Mauritius.
Of the Star and the Key, and that was published, I think, 30 years ago.
Yes, in fact, when Mauritius had only been independent 20 years. so it's people often ask me about maybe doing another print run of it, and it is something I'd like to... I'm considering whether we use some sort of print-on-demand or e-book. It would be nice to make it accessible again.
There were only 1,200 copies published at the time, and
yes,
it's a collector's item.
Yes, we only did 1,200 copies.
Well, let's hope in the future more copies will be published for the younger generations of Mauritians growing up in Australia. I go back to independence, 1968, and it was a close vote. 44% were against independence. Why were some people happy to stay with Great Britain?
Clearly, insecurities, notions of, you know, I think there were communal notions. There had, of course, been horror stories in Africa and other parts of the world in the wake of independence. The PMSD was against independence, wanted to maintain this close association with Britain. Those anxieties did ultimately, or people's concerns were allayed ultimately.
Let's talk about the Mauritian contribution to Australia. It goes back a long, long way. And for people who don't have access to Of the Star and the Key, can you perhaps briefly tell us about the Mauritian connection with Australia and their contribution here?
Yes, I think many Mauritians and indeed many Australians would be very surprised to learn how long that history is. Aside from the fact that the Dutch used Mauritius as a base for exploration, and Abel Tasman spent a month in Mauritius on the voyage, during the voyage that ultimately led to the discovery of Tasmania and New Zealand. Marion Dufresne's expedition in 1772 was mounted from Mauritius. One of his ships was called the Mascarin, the first Mauritian-born individuals to set foot on Australian soil, and in this case it was Tasmania in 1772, before the British even reached Tasmania, came on that expedition. Mauritians also took part in Nicolas Baudin's expedition. Baudin died in Mauritius, as indeed did another French explorer, Saint-Alouane. Again, Mauritius was used as a base for that expedition. Mauritians, in the wake of the British capture of Mauritius and the integration of Mauritius into the British Empire, there were quite unusual connections in that, for example, the Catholic Church in Australia between 1820 and 1834 was officially administered from Mauritius. There were over 200 convicts transported from Mauritius to Australia. Of those, about 60 were actually Mauritian-born, former slaves. Essentially, I think the British had problems disciplining a population of excited individuals who looked to complete freedom. And when the British had abolished slavery, they rebound slaves to their masters under this what was called the apprenticeship system. But the slaves were able to, ironically, earn overtime and purchase their freedom. But of course, there was an explosion of theft as people tried to achieve the noble end of their own freedom. And the British, one of the ways the British dealt with this law and order problem was to transport convicts to Australia. There were, of course, individuals who, amongst those former slaves, a number were not actually born in Mauritius. They came from Madagascar, from Africa, and elsewhere. And there were Indian indentured labourers as well, British military prisoners. But we know of 31 sent to 31 Mauritian-born individuals sent to New South Wales, and 29 to Van Diemen's Land, later Tasmania, and then a smaller number to Western Australia. Mauritians also took part in the gold rush. One reason was because Mauritius received news of gold discoveries before Europe did, people tried to seize opportunities. There was a lot of trade going on too with supplying the gold fields. Mauritius had been, for much of the 19th century, was the principal source of sugar exported to Australia. And then Mauritians made a pivotal contribution to the development of Australia's own sugar industry. From a technological point of view, the industry in Mauritius was rationalised a lot earlier, and so there were numerous sugar chemists who came to Australia, and also individuals who realised that they could get to establish sugar plantations. Land was cheaper, but they made an important contribution to the development of Australia's sugar industry. In my book, I didn't really cover Mauritians who served in the Australian Army, but I found a number of Mauritian-born Anzacs, four fatally wounded at Gallipoli, and of course also others who served in the Western Front, and then made contributions in others who made contributions in various walks of life. Then, of course, the big wave that came around the time of independence in the 1960s.
Late last year, on the 11th of November, you were awarded honorary membership of the Société de l'Histoire de l'Île Maurice.
Well, I was flattered and I was honoured by this, and they also sent me a lovely bronze medallion. I was deeply touched by this. I have, since the mid-80s, contributed to the Dictionnaire de Biographie Mauricienne. I've done over 90 entries. This dictionnaire was published effectively as a periodical from the Second World War, so each issue was in its was individually alphabetically arranged. The ambition has been to turn it into two consolidated volumes and completely revised and alphabetically arranged A to Z. And so I've been involved with that, but the citation also did allude to my books and the links between Australia and Mauritius and France, and it was a surprise to me. It came out of the blue, so I was very honoured by it.
You are a specialist of books on French explorers and navigators to Australia and the Pacific region. Are you working on other projects in that area?
Yes, I am. Firstly, I'm working at the moment on a biography of La Pérouse. I spent 6 months in France in 2016 doing research for that and came back with thousands of pages of documents copied, and I've actually started on that. My mother has also translated my biography of Dumont d'Urville into French, and we're hoping, that's Otago University Press, my publisher in New Zealand, and I are hoping that it will be published in France, hopefully to coincide with, there's going to be a big exhibition on Dumont d'Urville at the Musée Quai Branly in Paris in the middle of 2020. So I've got about 2 years or so, and so that's another interest. And I've also written a children's story about La Pérouse. Not so much about La Pérouse as Père Receveur, the Franciscan naturalist on his expedition, and the surgeon Lavaux. It's a children's story about the plants and animals, well, essentially colours and numbers of legs, but for young kids, and it's being illustrated by a friend, so we'll see what happens.
Two things as we speak. I'm calling you from Melbourne. At Federation Square, there are 8 Mauritian flags flying at the moment, and also there's been an Australian gift, I believe, to Mauritius?
Yes, the Australian government is giving Mauritius a Wollemi pine to be planted at the Pamplemousse Gardens. I'm sure that many of your listeners know that this is a remarkable plant. It was discovered, this tree was discovered in the Blue Mountains in 1994. It's a tree that goes back to the Cretaceous period. It's related to the Norfolk Island pine and the kauri of New Zealand, but there's really only about 100 of these trees in existence, all genetically identical, and they've survived in a gully, I think somewhere near Blackheath, for millions of years. And over the past 20 years, in an attempt to ensure the conservation for the future, to ensure that the genus, because there's only one plant, there's only one species in the entire genus, this Wollemia, one of these propagated trees is being presented to Mauritius for the Pamplemousse Gardens. I think it's a special gift indeed. I did try and interest Australia Post in a joint stamp issue, but got nowhere, and did try and interest the Australian War Memorial in doing a little exhibition about Mauritian Anzacs, but got nowhere. But, anyway, Mauritians have to do their own celebrating, I think.
Edward Dyker, thank you so much for speaking with us on a very special day in Mauritian history, the 50th anniversary of independence.
It's been my pleasure, Jean-Noël. Thank you.